Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat, or about your body, what you will wear? For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will God clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep seeking what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that seek all these things, and your Creator knows that you need them. Instead, seek God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Dear ones, this one of our hymns has been running through me all week. Some of you may get the earworm if I mention it. The Lord, in the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord, I will rejoice. Because today is so much thankfulness and rejoicing. And our line goes, "Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near." I can imagine how many times we did gymnastics with Elliot to think of better, more inclusive language than Lord, but sometimes a good old hymn gets stuck in. And today we begin with that. In the Lord, we are ever thankful, and in the Lord we rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. So thank you, Keystone, for the usual infusion. Your voices run through me when I take my runs down the Chief Seattle Trail, and I pray with each of you. And this morning is kind of fun. It's a shorter morning, shorter sermon. This won't be a long leave taking because we have an amazing text here, but we also get to have some fun this morning. We're gonna do a few things. We get to tell some stories. And some of us have been traveling together for 10 years, which I just heard, believe me, I heard Paisley get ribbed that she was about 10 when her tenure at Keystone began. And we have so many of us, there's a variety of feelings with leave taking, in any leave taking. And many of you poets have been just bringing it out every time I open the mail, and your cards have conveyed so much of my heart. But today, you'll have to let me do a little something here today. I get to love on you a little bit. And we get to have some fun because 10 years does carry many comical moments, and we won't forget them, but I am going to miss you all dearly. So today's also a little odd because it's summer, which means, of course, many folks are in a variety of different directions and have sent words, and we're not all here. But I'm thinking of many of our loved ones that I have been so lucky to serve with, also in that department of staff. 7 and 8 years of interns, incredible fellows who devoted their lives to this experiment that we began at Keystone with the Justice Leadership Program. And those that Rich and I have been so blessed to work with, from Yuki to Jen to Catherine, Elizabeth, Peg, you're here. We thought you were elsewhere today. And with Brandon, and so many who were just brave enough to take the Keystone challenge and live on a shoestring and be part of this, our scrappy, small, creative church. And you ordained all of us. Can we just say that for a moment? That this community is a pipeline of prophetic justice work in the world, if there ever was one. I hope to always count among your number. This stole that some of you here placed upon me, that came from my grandparents and aunt and uncle at my ordination with you, and many of you here today were there at that moment, and so many moments like that. And also today, we are just lifting and celebrating the unexpected partnership between Keystone and the Pacific Northwest Conference of the United Church of Christ, that we got to do all of this because we got into this all together, whether that was Justice Leadership Program or for my family, having a way that a job full of travel in those days for Mike could fit with Keystone. And you have a living, breathing wonder boy in your mix, who is also a measure of just how long the mission of creativity has been going. So you can kind of measure by how tall and articulate and goofy your Leo is, because when his life began nurtured in your arms from day one. I started as Rich recruited me to Keystone, and we dreamed up the Young Adult Service Community program. And we said, we need a church where we can grow interns and we can grow a family. And the next thing we knew, as I was beginning at Keystone, we learned Leo was coming along. And so it's with all of these backdrops that we are just so filled with gratitude for the partnerships that have fueled us, and for new pages beginning, as you'll hear in the before and after announcements today, little things to prick your curiosity. And summer also means that those who may not be getting much of a break for a while are getting a precious break. So we did not expect to see Rich and Hilda here today. And so what a treat that the one who's gotten so many of us into all this is here today. And I know that for some of you, we're still wishing there's a way that we were sitting with a coffee in the narthex. But what I'm so grateful for is the beauty of this, that we are all here today because we can stretch across these state lines and go further out into our mission. So take that as you go into your day today, because what you are doing is so wonderful that it might continue to bloom and grow. And today's going to be a little dose of the Keystone Spirit as we look at this Luke text. We were praying over this at Lectio Divina on Wednesday, and one of the curiosities, I think, about this much loved Lilies of the Field text is that it's quite easy to come at it from a place of privilege and think the message is, don't worry, be happy, you got this. When I'm very, very smitten with this leading, as I sit with this text and we pray over it together, that came to us, that that doesn't sound a lot like Jesus, does it? Hey, sit back and enjoy the goods, don't worry. That does not sound like the one that we follow. And I don't believe that this text is meant to be read pie in the sky. I do know that this text is going to tell us today that God will provide. But the key here is, what is our angle of interpretation? What is our stance? With whom are we standing as we come to this text? So today's theme is accompaniment. So for you, I'm not too worried that you're going to take this as permission to just close your eyes and sit back, because that's not your way. So instead, this week, many of you have been actually with those who are seeking clothing, as the text talks of, or seeking food like the ravens. Many of you who have our vital link to Guatemala or St. Martin's or Haiti, many of you will not be surprised that we need to take an accompaniment angle as we come to this text, and that we don't hear this in a privileged ear. Don't worry. It's because that would produce a status quo reading. So today I get a little chance to simply encourage you in some of those commitments where you are standing with those most impacted and letting their voices lead. So one of our quick throwbacks is just my delight that sitting in the Learning Center moons and moons ago with you, Rich Bogut and Jim Little, and Rich and I, and we're pulling out the old audit from the wonderful green team work that we stood upon, and we worked up the next green team. And just over these years that I've been so blessed to serve with you, consistently, you have gotten us into shape. We know how to take strategic advocacy actions, as trained with our Take Five, as with our Justice Leadership Program, all of the advocacy commitments in organizations around Seattle, that, and those of you even now farther afield, have shown us that it is using our voices at key moments that can make ripple impacts. And so it was interesting, as I said in the announcements, that this week there was just another quiet example. Our green team members, our Take Five members, were telling us, hey, the Inflation Reduction Act passed the Senate, and now's a great time if you want to talk to your House of Representatives. And we might all have different opinions about how that's really shaking down and what our next steps are, but we are grateful to be in community learning when we can pull those levers. And that's a kind of accompaniment that you make visible that's sometimes harder to put a real face and voice and bridge to. One of those wonderful moments when Rich and I were meeting, staff meeting, you know, when I came back from these family reunions and before he's been able to have this reunion with you, Hilda, Rich and I were sitting and just giving our thanks for the places beyond Seattle where you community have those connections. And so when you look at the ways that you're giving month to month, and some is going to Nuevo Amanecer for Guatemala, and now some is, you can go to the pull down list with our friends at St. Pat's on our website to find a way to give to Nuevo Trinidad and be active in the El Salvador sister community and Uganda and Haiti, and on we go. And some of these moments where we get to do a little shine on how a small place can have a bigger impact. So when you take a look at this Gospel of Luke and you hear, "Do not fear," and you know well that it's not an out of the blue optimistic statement, pie in the sky platitude, but one grounded in that claim that God's faithfulness extends to the entirety of creation. This brings us to our next piece as we start to steer this toward its conclusion. That brings us right to those ravens and lilies. One of the things that's been such a joy is to bring in community here some of my academic work and study and passion around how we engage with earth, not in a stewardship, do-gooder, you know, tend the earth way, but really, what if we are partners with earth, with creation? What if we are coming alongside and accompanying earth and earth inhabitants who are feeling the climate terror the most? That's our angle, and that continues to inspire us in our faith to make these changes. But I wanted to just give you an interesting piece that again underscores the sort of steady coaching that we get month in and month out from our green team. And that's that we might just tone and kind of tweak our angle a little bit to show more of our accompaniment stance. So, for example, I don't know if some of you happened to catch an interesting clip. Politico had a story about the Australian tycoon who has caught Senator Manchin's ear. And what he said is so simple, and so many of you have been working on and across Washington State and each of your settings where you are. But Andrew Forrest, the founder of Fortescue Fortune Industries, you know, he's a energy guy who can talk to workers, who can talk about transition in a way that does not cause people to close off. And what he said to Manchin, whose attention he got, was, to all of us really, if you channel climate through employment, you will get a hearing. And so he spends time with the coal plant workers in West Virginia, goes and hangs out and gives them the message that it's not closing up shop and invest in Wall Street, but actually your passion in your community and your skills might need to change, but you're going to work in the next better energy form here. Let's do it. And he's getting people to listen. And so I think part of that is that at times our climate work may sound like we're all supposed to give up, give up, give up. But part of what we're hearing is that if we forget those who seem to be facing their family livelihood, that they're being asked to give up, and instead are alongside them with all the creativity that we know is here ready for transition, that holds some of our promise. when God promises to give the kingdom, what does that mean? When God says, I'm going to let some of you just not be anxious and worry while the rest of you struggle. I don't think so. When God promises, I will feed you and clothe you like I do for the ravens, they eat. And like I do for the lilies of the field, they are adorned like King Solomon. So maybe some of what we're learning in our book study with the Some of Us, that asking people to give up, give up, give up may just be coming on deaf ears at times. And instead of those packing up, closing up, filling in swimming pools, what if the kind of flow from one form of horrific energy to a kind of hopeful, clean energy. What if we, Keystone, are continuing to flow in that spirit of God, trusting that God will provide? When we are accompaniers who come alongside at the right angle, taking our cues from those who are most impacted. We had a neat moment this week in the blur and chaos of my job interviews and packing and all of it. We had to sign a rental in Pittsfield, Mass for way too much per month. But one of the joys was we said, oh, we don't see the electric bill here. And they said, oh, it's all covered. Solar. There's solar on so many rooftops in Pittsfield. They have been trying since GE packed up. There are signs, moments, seconds where you're so glad not to be signing up for an electric bill. That was just one this week that brought us some joy. As all of us bring this day, all the worries, the anxieties, everything that causes us all of the ups and downs of our days, we hope that today there's a little glimpse that when you find those moments that you can align as an accompanier alongside someone who might really be in need of food for living, clothing for shelter, that you might see all this community around you that is figuring this out together. And I just wanted to give you some encouragement today, such as the dose that comes from a green team. Man, am I going to miss that team telling me what to do every week, what action to take. And one of the things that has been just such a fun crack up, just about every morning, I think of you all and Nell, because we have these battles in my house over how much caf and how much decaf needs to go into the coffee mix. And I just think sometimes that one of our revealing secrets around the house of Keystone is that how long does it take before you start to realize, if back in those coffee pot sit around days, who started to wonder, why is this decaf? If the church coffee pot is deep, and slowly you start to piece together what's really going on around this place, the place that is for real about accompaniment with the least of these, someone starts to piece together that, well, Nell had a condition where she couldn't drink caffeine, and so no one should drink caffeine at church, because that's how we roll, people. And so I just, we're thinking of everyone today, and Nell is cracking up with us right now. And one of the things that is, I hope, quite obvious is that as you keep going, Keystone, you will have those of us seeing you shining like a lily. We will be in your corner from one little part of Western Massachusetts, one family who adores you, who will be in grief that as your milestones of life continue, I won't be able to pastor and minister and be with you in those for a time while we take a break. And it's good and right and important that we do, so your next venture can open and start freshly and boldly. But Mike and Leo and I will be cheering you on from the depths of our gratitude, because you shaped us and formed us. We have been constituted by the commitments and beauty in this community, and you've shown us how to be for one another, to put the values of community above your own gain, and to stretch for one another. And in so doing, we become better humans on earth. And we embody that hope that when we step out as Jesus showed the disciples, and you show one another, we get to be for one another. So I will be there smiling over a half calf coffee, thinking of you. And once in a while, I'll pull out this poem that I want to offer you here, just for a chance to sit back and listen. This has guided me sometimes walking with you and trying to be brave as I chase down these new career changes and job interviews. And so I invite you to think about being faithful to the next step. This is from Jan Richardson. For those who have far to travel, if you could see the whole journey, if you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it, might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you have known toward the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road that we see it only by stages, as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping, step by single step. There is nothing for it but to go, and by our going, take the vows the pilgrim takes, to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dream, to follow the star that only you will recognize, to keep an open eye for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way. There are vows that only you will know, the secret promises for your particular path, and the new ones you will need to make when the road is revealed by turns you could not have foreseen. Keep them, break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed. The gift that only you can give before turning to go home by another way. So be faithful to the next step. And Keystone, keep being the gift that only you can give. Amen.